Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In Oregon, the High Court of the state voided 3,000 marriage licenses for homosexuals. Their justices ruled that Portland, which played host to last year's mass weddings, did not have the authority to act on a statewide issue. And therefore, on a technicality, the Oregon Supreme Court voided 3,000 marriage licenses for homosexuals. Now, the governor of Oregon, Ted Kulongoski, anticipating this court ruling, yesterday, 2 days ago, on Wednesday, he introduced legislation allowing civil unions, if passed, and outlawing discrimination against gays and lesbians. That, by the way, is on the front page of today's Denver Post. In yesterday's show, we did the story about the Denver Post hiring Jason Blair, New York Times former journalist Jason Blair, writing under the pen name of Keith Swain. So we'll follow up on that story later next week. So Oregon has, the Supreme Court has overturned these 3,000 weddings, marriage licenses. And here at Bob Enyart Live, we have warned the conservative Christian community that while we should fight to stop the move toward homosexual marriage, that assuming we succeed, which we're likely to succeed nationwide, there will likely be a backlash, at which time we will end up with civil unions, homosexual civil unions, and increasing laws on behalf of the agenda of the homosexual community in place. And so that while we'll win the battle against homosexual marriage, in the end, we will be worse off than we were before the battle. And the march will continue. Michael Medved, who is a national conservative religious talk show host, Jewish, but just as in the last 3-4 weeks with the Terri Schiavo case, Michael Medved crossed the line to openly support suicide and euthanasia and support assisted suicide. On this issue, Michael Medved, he interviewed this past Monday a Dr. Paul Cameron. Now, we've had Dr. Cameron on this show. He heads up the Family Research Institute in Colorado Springs, and he has been published more often in peer-reviewed journals regarding homosexual behavior, homosexual marriage, and parenting than any other scientist, researcher out there. And he had Dr. Paul Cameron on Monday, and there was a dispute, a disagreement. I have here a letter that Paul Cameron sent to Michael Medved. He wrote, "Dear Michael, on March 24th, you told your national radio audience that an adoptable child would be better off with a gay couple than a single heterosexual." And then Dr. Cameron disputed that, and we have him on the program right now. Dr. Paul Cameron, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, thank you.
It's an honor. Doctor, I don't know if you recall, but we did a first interview about 14 years ago.
Absolutely.
You do recall. I think this is my seventh. I have a doctor's checkup with you once every 7 years. So this is our third interview.
Yeah, I think actually it's been about five.
Okay. I think you're right. Okay, so it's an honor to talk to you again. Can you tell us about the dispute you had with Michael Medved and then on to the subject of homosexuals raising children?
Yeah, the dispute centers around this. Michael Medved, as with O'Reilly and many of the others on the conservative side of things, seem to tie into this mantra that what consenting adults do in the privacy of their bedroom is nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is alarmingly naive, because all of us have to pay for that. It's like saying, as long as it's sex or drugs, I presume he and O'Reilly and the rest of them would say, well, yeah, I mean, drugs, we don't care how private it is, and we don't care whether it's you and your wife or you and 12 wives. I mean, you just can't do that. It's not right.
Yeah, and up until 4 weeks ago, we would have thought that if it was suicide, if somebody was in the privacy of their own home and they were going to commit suicide, all these conservative spokespeople would have been against it. But with the Terri Schiavo case, they are now on the record as supporting suicide and euthanasia.
Yeah, it varies from host to host.
Yeah, Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Michael Medved, Bill O'Reilly, as you mentioned, and a whole host of others have come out now and said that if there's a written directive, they support the right to kill, to be killed, and for doctors to kill the person. So the pro-life spokespeople are now pro-euthanasia to some significant degree.
Yeah, going back to now, Michael Medved's major point was, look, yes, absolutely. If there is a child at risk, that child, if we can, ought to be placed as a foster child or as an adoptive child with a married set of parents. And there he's quite right. That's the best placement.
Better
we agree
than,
on that.
Better than with a single heterosexual.
Sure.
Right, of course.
Now, but the point on which we disagreed was Medved seems to think that two gays in some sort of committed partnership are better than one heterosexual. And that's the debate. And the main points that I made were, first, actually there are no studies that show that two homosexuals are better than one homosexual at raising kids. That's the first thing. And that's kind of important. And I think the reason why no such study has been made is because if you follow just about any one of these partnerships over a few years, suddenly, it's no longer together. And if the child is somehow adopted by or belongs to both of them, they fight over it.
Right. And, of course, heterosexuals do that also.
Sure.
But the incidence of homosexual couples staying together is far lower than even in the middle of the divorce epidemic that heterosexuals are in.
Absolutely. And right now, the National Lesbian Association, starting in about 1994, a change occurred. More disputes between lesbians and lesbians over custody started to occur and is continuing today than between lesbians and their ex-husbands over custody of children. So you can see how contentious this is. Now,
So the argument there is that two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, two disturbed people are not better than one disturbed person. In fact, now I don't have any evidence that says that two is worse than one.
Right.
But there's plenty of evidence that suggests that homosexuals generally make poorer parents.
Now, let me ask you this. In your letter to Michael Medved, you mentioned researchers who documented 57 life stories of children with homosexual parents.
Right.
And you said because Michael Medved obviously has a tender heart, he would be somewhat devastated reading the painful stories of these kids. But wouldn't that kind of research be biased, the researchers being biased against homosexuals to start with?
It would if it were done by someone like me or you, perhaps.
Right.
But as a matter of fact, the researchers in this case were both lesbians.
Rafkin and Safran.
Yes, both of them open lesbians. Rafkin, after interviewing these kids, and now imagine this. Here, the researchers go to groups of lesbians and gays, and they say, we want to interview your kids, and we want them to tell us what it's like to have a homosexual parent.
Right.
So the parent has to, first of all, spring for the kids, has to volunteer the kids. Then the kid knows that the parent has volunteered them, knows that they're going to be interviewed by a homosexual, and knows that what they say is going to get back to their parents.
Right.
Boy, you'd say in a situation like that,
you're going to get the best possible story.
You bet.
Right, especially in a world where these kids know that many in the culture oppose their parents. And so kids, you know, in a fight, it's me against my brother until it's my brother and I against my cousin and the three of us against our neighbor. So when the culture's coming after your family, normally kids take the sides of their parents.
That's right.
So that's what I would expect.
Right. And some of these kids did, but not many. In fact, most of the kids mentioned all kinds of problems. One of the major problems for children, even starting as young as six, they started to realize they had to shut their mouth and not say to anyone just what kind of a situation they found themselves living in. And that's important for the kid because all kids want to be thought of as well as they can be. And they want to be invited to their friends' homes for birthday parties and sleepovers and so forth.
Right.
And they get a sense, gee, if I let it out that my mother is not living with Aunt Tilda, but rather with her lover, I ain't going to see anybody's home. And right. They're probably right. And quite frankly, if I were, I wouldn't let my kids go and sleep over at some lesbian or gay's house. I think I'd just be asking for trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We never would. By the way, I graduated high school in New Jersey in 1977, and a homosexual teacher there had seduced, five of the students during the time I was there. He attempted to seduce my brother, which failed. All five of those other students died of AIDS within maybe 5 years of getting out of high school.
Yep.
But now you report that these kids, who these 57 life stories, they talked about 213 problems.
Right, including things such as attempts at molestation, pressure for themselves to become homosexual, all kinds of instabilities.
Right, and you said that 94% of the problems these kids were undergoing, the children attributed to their homosexual parents.
Right. So think about this. Here you have kids in, I would suspect, the most biased of all circumstances, and in fact a biased sample, chosen by their parents, knowing that what they're saying is going to be put down for posterity, and worse, who cares about posterity? My parents are going to know what I say. Mm. Even in this situation, the kids complained a lot, and there's a lot to complain about. So I don't think Michael had the chance or inclination to read these stories, and I wish people would. They're on our website, www.familyresearchinst.org.
And we're talking to Paul Cameron, who's the founder of the Family Research Institute in Colorado Springs. And so, Dr. Cameron, that website is, again?
Family Research Inst, I-N-S-T, for Institute, .org. We're a nonprofit. And then when you get there, look up Children of Homosexuals Report Difficulties.
Okay.
And you can see, I would commend the books themselves, but probably most people don't want to go to the library and get up these books and so forth. They're there, and it will just break your heart. You say, geez, poor kids. Now, the kids are still alive. It could be worse. They're not all being brutalized every day or anything like that. So that's the good news. But the bad news is, you can just imagine what your kids would say or what anybody else's kids would say. And here and there, kids undergo real privation, real difficulty. But by and large, most kids have a pretty good life, and they say so. And by and large, these homosexual kids have a very difficult life, and they say so.
And so the immediate defense of the homosexual community, it's because of the bigotry and the lack of education of our culture. But you know what? Our culture is overwhelmingly pro-homosexual openly as far as primetime TV, the media, our schools, universities, and our mainline denominational churches. It's the conservative Christian who is shunned in increasing segments of our society.
That's true. I don't think the tilt is still in favor of homosexuality yet in our society. The elite has this notion that we know better, and what people want to do, adult people, in the privacy of their bedroom, that trumps everything else,
right,
which is so much balderdash. Well, back to the kids.
Okay.
So one of the things that I pointed out to Mr. Medved, and he's a good guy, he's an intellectually sound fellow, and he was not unkind, is that, we just got, for the first time, a state to tell us what happens to kids who are fostered and adopted. And the state of Illinois, under a Freedom of Information Act, coughed up 6 years of molestation by foster parents and adoptive parents. Mm. 6 years. 270 instances. That's quite a big few. Mm-hmm. And over the six-year period, 34%, about a third, were homosexual.
Now, that seems to harken back to statistics you published in the 1980s, research you did that appeared in Psychology Reports, was it?
Right, Psychological Reports.
Reports showing similar percentages of children who were molested by adults were mostly boys molested by men, some girls by women, but a much smaller number. But on average, if I recall, this is going back to the early 90s, it was close to a third of all kids molested were harmed in homosexual acts, and that's way out of proportion. If homosexuals make up 4 or 5% of the population, that means they're molesting kids at a significant factor far beyond their numbers.
Right. And Michael Medved noted, he said, well, that's about 10 times the rate. And I would say that's a fair estimate, 10 or maybe even 15 or so. Now, that's an important factor because nobody knows how well kids that have been fostered turn out in adulthood. Do you know that? There hasn't been, to my knowledge, a single study that follows kids in foster homes versus, say, orphanages, versus shipped out to a distant relative.
Or adoption. And Paul Cameron, as a general rule at Denver Bible Church and Bob and Yurt Live, we encourage adoption rather than foster parenting.
Yeah, if it's possible.
Right.
But usually, even before adoption, there'll be some fostering just so you can be sure that the parents are comfortable with a kid and the kid is comfortable with the parents and so forth. So in most adoptions, not those of a foreign child, but here in the States, usually the child is fostered for a while and then the adoption papers are, you know, filled out and blah, blah, blah. Now, let's go back to these kids. We don't know what goes on in the foster system. Here in Colorado, each county does its own thing. And I know, for instance, in El Paso County, I was involved in a case a few years ago where a lesbian had a boy. She went out to a bar and got pregnant, and whoever the father was never knew about it. And she wanted a kid, and she got a boy, and then she treated him very poorly. So poorly, in fact, that the state eventually intervened because he wasn't being fed and so forth. There was a grandparent who wanted to take him. There were uncles and aunts that wanted to take him. The good folk of El Paso County, the social workers down there, said, no way. He was born to a lesbian.
He's got
to give him to a lesbian couple.
Right, exactly.
And that's just what they did. Think about that. People who were related to him, who had some knowledge of him and wanted to adopt him, wanted to, whatever, help the kid.
Right.
No way.
At least that much stability. But there's a bias in social services against traditional families of a mom and a dad and kids toward broken families and immorality. And so immorality trumps wholesomeness every time.
An awful lot of the time, that's true. Mm. Illinois, this is handled at the state level. And in a number of other states, that's the case. And some are just like here in Colorado. It's county by county. Here in Colorado, if you were to say, well, how many kids even get fostered? Probably somewhere in the bowels of the state bureaucracy, there is that figure. But I've met with officers, the lieutenant governor and her aides and so forth, and they couldn't find out. It's probably find-outable, but what isn't find-outable is how many of these kids are molested, what happens to these kids long-term, how many of these kids go through how many fosterings, blah, blah, blah. And all across the United States, whether it's Illinois or other states that actually track all the kids statewide, we have very little information. A bureaucracy exists, the social services, and they say, we are the bureaucrats. We are not going to be transparent about what we do with kids. In fact, it's our business. We're going to do what we think is best, and you butt out. Hmm. Nobody's going to be able to find out. We're not going to keep records. And if we do keep records, we're still not going to reveal them to the public. Hmm. Think of this. If you were running, say, a business, talk about Enron. My goodness, here we have these poor kids, about a half a million of them across the United States every year, that need at least a week or two or maybe a month or two or whatever of foster parenting. nobody knows what happens to these kids.
Well, there's something similar to that with all the hundreds of millions of dollars we spend on research in our universities and all their interest in homosexual issues. There has only been one study ever conducted based on scientific random sample of adults regarding how kids with homosexual parents turn out.
Right.
And that one and only study was published in Adolescence.
Right.
And what were the results of the homosexual people who had, well, the people who had homosexual parents, how did they turn out as compared to the general population?
There were about 5,000 people, and from those 5,000 adults, all of these were adults, 17 reported having had a homosexual parent.
Okay.
Now, of those 17, about a third of them reported sex with one or more of their parents.
Oh, my.
Now, that's unusually high.
Right.
Unfortunately, about one out of every 136 kids, that is, adults, reported sex with one or both of their parents. Heterosexual land is not perfect.
No, of course not. It's utterly despicable. But so you have one out of every 136.
Versus one out of three.
Right, which is like one half of 1% about,
right,
for heterosexuals versus one-third,
right,
for homosexuals. People who identified themselves as being raised by homosexual parents.
Right. And then you could look at how many of the heterosexually raised turned out homosexual, and it was about 3% in this particular sample, versus for the homosexuals, it was somewhere between, depending on how you construe it, 36% to even 48%.
Hmm.
It depends on what you call a homosexual.
Right.
But in other words, almost a majority of them, a very large fraction of them, mm-hmm, themselves became homosexual.
And they reported gender dissatisfaction. And that's something it's hard for most people to relate to, what it must be like to be so deceived early in your life that you become dissatisfied with fundamentally who you are.
Yeah.
With being a man or a little girl, being a girl and growing up as a teenager, and to somehow to be convinced that you should be unhappy that you're a woman.
Right. So the model that fits these all this data is a model that disturbed people disproportionately turn out or influence disturbed children. Now, to be sure, a disturbed child can come out of a great family, and great kids can come out of a horribly dysfunctional family. But the general rule is there's a substantial correlation there. And so, like with Michael Medved or O'Reilly or many of the talk show hosts, I just don't think they... I wish they would read what the kids with homosexual parents had to say. It is just... I just don't think O'Reilly or any of them, if they would just sit down and read for an hour or two, I think they'd change their mind.
Well, that could be, but I'd call it a long shot because, Dr. Cameron, it's not only a matter of the intellect, it's also a matter of the heart, and we're in a spiritual battle. And even if there were studies that showed that homosexuals are getting better at raising kids, fundamentally, I believe in God and that He created us and revealed to us that He made us male and female, and it's fundamentally wrong and destructive to engage in homosexual behavior.
Sure it is. If you look at like what goes on in the bedroom, the privacy, what is going on with male homosexuals is now costing, because of just the diseases that they cause and spread, like HIV, the AIDS virus, and hepatitis B and hepatitis C, they are knocking down about 1% of our gross domestic product.
Wow.
Now think about that for a moment.
Yeah, that's an
enormous... One out of every $100 produced in the United States goes to treat homosexuals and their maladies.
And it's not that that's coming from greed or envy. It's that the destruction in the homosexual life, that's all these resources are being pulled together to try to put together someone who's tearing himself apart.
Absolutely.
Dr. Paul Cameron, we're out of time, but could we follow up perhaps in about 3 weeks?
Sure. Sure, let's do.
Because there are so many important issues. You've got so much knowledge and information, and so we'd love to follow up with you.
All right.
The website is familyresearchinst.org, and it's Dr. Paul Cameron. God bless you, doctor.
Take care.
Thank you for that interview. This is the doctor who helped me back when I first started on the radio back in 1991 to put together my arguments that, first and foremost, it's a morality issue, and God has made us male and female. And we destroy ourselves when we deny who we are. It's destructive. And secondly, because we know the truth that homosexuality is wrong, and things that are wrong, when you do them, there are consequences, negative consequences. And so it's not a surprise to see that scientists who are honest find a mountain of evidence of the destructive consequences of homosexuality, and especially on children, but of course also on the millions of adults. You know, homosexuality used to be not tolerated, and since we've tolerated it in the last 30 years, how many people around the world have died tortured deaths? You count them by the hundreds of thousands. That's what the policy of tolerating and respecting homosexuality, and even, for example, focus on the family, contributing equal rights and legitimizing, declaring equally valid homosexual behavior, as we know and we've documented that they've done. And along with many other Christian leaders, from Concerned Women of America to Chuck Colson, and so many ministries, national Christian conservative ministries, declaring homosexuality legally valid and tolerating and respecting it, and it's led to the tortured deaths of men, women, and children that we count by the hundreds of thousands into the many millions. We need more wisdom, and we need wisdom more so than misguided compassion. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Oh, yeah, and check out Maranatha Christian Center, 431-5653.